Jonathan, how are you?
2-minute warning. Is this our new title? I like it.
That's what it says on the copy. We figured Owner's Box would run its course. You know, we go to 2-minute warning.
We got to rebrand. I like that. 2-minute warning.
It has been, this week was crazy.
Brady. See, he's quarterbacking the 2 minutes.
I'm doing the two minutes.
The hurry up offense. All right.
But this week was.
The jacket. I'm sorry. The jacket's
do you like
very
it?
Brady-like. You're looking very stylish. Yeah,
that's the only way I'd ever be compared to Brady.
True.
Forget it.
He might be a cheap rich guy, too.
But my wife is very Giselle-like. Here, I'll cover my butt. But as far as with what's been going on with the team, I mean, Brady unhappy, all this week. I mean, I'm going to give you a floor. Stage is yours.
Look, we didn't play well last week. It's that simple. I think you have to go back to 03 and that opening game. We had a game in Tennessee once. I was trying to think of the year this week where it was ugly. Those are the two games that reminded me of. We just didn't play well. Any part of the team, offense, defense, special teams, didn't coach well, as Bill always starts with, and maybe with the exception of Matthew Slater making a couple of great individual efforts on special teams, it was not a showing that'll make a highlight reel, and it shouldn't. And I think everybody in this building believes that this is a better football team than we showed last week in Kansas City, and hopefully we come out tonight and do that. But there was nobody, and no one's making any excuses, and from anything I've heard, no one's pointing any fingers. And I'll tell you, Vince did a great job in the locker room after the game. I think bringing the team up and getting everybody focused. Actually, there's Zolak hugging Gresh, and he looks pretty good, too. So anyhow,
fantastic.
No, I was talking about Zoe.
Mr. Sid. He didn't pay for it, believe me, Jonathan. You know, the thing of it is like, I have a question about, like, front office operations. Now, you had the report. Bill shot it down with a press release regarding Dotson, whether he's unhappy or not. As far as ownership goes, are you plugged into any of that stuff? I mean, if a player has a problem with an offensive coordinator, and tempers flare all the time.
I think that gets handled within the football operation. But as I understand it from Bill, I mean, once it became something. I mean, look, Aaron Dobson, as Bill said, I don't know if either of you have interacted with him. Aaron is a soft-spoken, hard-working, just quiet guy. So I'm not in the meeting rooms. I don't know. And I'm sure Shaliz had a source who believed it happened. But I think in talking to Bill and just hearing from other people in the building, they say it didn't happen, but that's a reporter's job. Shaliz, I'm sure, had a source who she trusted, and that's what happened. But from everything I've heard, it didn't happen, but I didn't spend a lot of time looking into it. I saw Bill's comment, and I talked to one person just in passing.
Do you sense unhappiness around the building other than to what you spoke of earlier?
I think
you're 2-2 and you just came off, quite honestly, getting your ass.
We haven't played well. Haven't played well all year. So I think there's that type of unhappiness and an internal frustration that makes you want to overcome it. But I haven't seen despair or finger pointing or anything like that. And look, we're 2-2. It's the quarter point of an NFL season. There's an awful lot that's going to happen. Like we talked about the opening week when you tried to get the expectations. I said the only thing I'm sure of is a lot's going to happen between now and the end of the year that no one's.
Well, we still got a shot.
It's going to happen.
I said 14-2.
Well, I'm not in the prediction game. Here's what I know: if our team focuses and executes well, we'll win a lot of games. And if we don't, we won't. And that's the way it works. And it's really about execution. I think everybody on this team believes in each other and believes that there's talent on this team to have a good season.
Some of the HGH testing has now been finalized, and I know that some look at the numbers. Basically, it's writers of other sports. Hey, the NFL isn't doing enough, blah, blah, all that. You know the nitty-gritty and the details on all the HGH stuff. What can you tell us?
Well, we're the first league, I believe still, that has HGH blood testing, so performance-enhancing drug that you can't test for any other way. And what will happen, we talked last week that it had been approved. The testing starts this week, and five players will be randomly selected from eight teams that will be randomly selected each week during the season. And once you get to the postseason, five players on every team in the postseason will be randomly tested. I think if you're a fan of the game, it means that you can have even more confidence that the quality of the competition is on a level playing field. If you're a player on the field who has and does abide by the rules, you're very happy about that too. And this was the next step that needed to happen. If you test positive once, it'll be a six-game suspension. If you're caught with a masking agent, it'll be a two-game suspension. A second time will be a 10-game suspension, and then a third violation will be a two-year ban from the game.
Well, if you take a look at the numbers, a little over a third of the players will be tested each year. Because if you're talking about like 600...
I guess 40 players a week, right?
Right.
So 8 times 5 is 40. I hadn't thought about it in those terms. Times 17 weeks of a regular season. So yeah, about a third of the players.
In conjunction, is that similar to the other testing program? I mean, is that the way it works? About a third of the guys will get tested?
With the substances that the drug testing that takes place during the regular season is a more widespread test. So trying to work the numbers in my head. This will be a little bit less than that, but I think when you're getting a third of the players randomly throughout the year, that's a pretty important statistical sample, and it's going to make you think, do you really want to play roulette if you're a player?
Well, my question was, when I read it, was, I mean, the NFLPA, I mean, to me, you know, was that a sticking point in the negotiation with the NFLPA?
I think...
Because if you're an owner, you would want more.
Well, look, and if you're the PA, you
want less.
You don't... Well, no, I don't even know that you want less. I think the PA wanted it, but they didn't want it to be so overbearing that a guy could get blood drawn four times a year. I think it was... It's that type of thing. You also can have drug tests at any point during the season. The blood tests can happen on game day. And look, I think it's a start. And the PA has said to the league that we agree with you. Our players want this. We need to get it resolved. And I'm sure we'll see over time that this program will evolve and expand.
It'll
probably
increase over time.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you help clarify a little bit of what's going on with the FCC and the blackout rulings and all that?
Well,
not that we've ever had to really worry about that around here.
Well, the NFL, for those who don't know, have a rule, and it used to matter a lot. It did used to matter a lot around here. I remember as a kid always trying to have explain. There were only a few games we couldn't make it to for various reasons, and a lot of them, probably the half dozen games, weren't on local TV. And the NFL has always said if a game is not sold out 72 hours in advance and you can get a 24-hour waivers to 48, that the game wouldn't be broadcast in the local market. The FCC has ruled in the past week that happened at a time that rule is a vestige of times past where teams really needed to sell tickets to be viable business entities, and now as the media dollars have grown, the FCC isn't sure that is something that's important going forward. But right now, it's in our contractual agreements with our network partners, so practically speaking, between now and 2022, I'm not sure much is going to change in terms of how it works for NFL fans. But clearly, it's the start of a something.
Well, on the outside looking in, is normally you would think, okay, you want to keep that in place till 2022 for the same reason the FCC had it. However, with the way television has exploded and the way that multimedia has exploded, it might be more beneficial to take care of the television people, right, as opposed to the in-stadium. How do you balance
that?
It's a tough
question. I think now that this has happened, I'm sure we'll be talking about it some more. You can make arguments on each side of the equation about what's right. The thing that usually happens in situations like this, the business model evolves to a point where it's a win-win-win for everybody, and I'm sure that'll happen now. We've got a window of time before that needs to happen here, though, and I'm sure we'll be we have league meetings this week. I'm sure it'll be talked about there.
You know, because I wonder, because if you're looking at, like, from a business perspective, you look at what you make on a seat. I don't know if you could say, like, okay, it's a better business move to have a ticket or have somebody in a seat or have somebody using multimedia in their home. You know what I mean?
You're right. Look, we want people consuming the game. I think there's something about the energy of having a stadium with lots of people in it, and it's up to us to continue to try to make it worthwhile to come to the building, make it entertaining when you're here, make it enjoyable, and I'm sure this will continue to push us to find ways to do that.
Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Some thoughts on that? You have a very special person leading the team.
Yeah, you know, a woman, when we played in Cincinnati last year in this breast cancer awareness game, the Crucial Catch game, and a woman named Beth Steele, her husband, they're actually Patriot fans, they live in Cincinnati. Her husband and a buddy of his were going to go to the game. The buddy got sick, so his wife went with him. And she's mid-30s and hadn't really thought about this. And because of the PSAs that ran at the game and the materials that were handed out, when she went home that night, she did a breast exam and she found a lump. She went in and saw her doctors that week. She had three tumors in her breast that I think were pretty far along. And this was a year ago. She has since has been treated, is cancer-free, and she will be leading the team out of the helmet tonight, carrying the breast cancer awareness flag. And then we're also going to have something, approximately 300 breast cancer survivors, 160 breast cancer survivors and partners of theirs who are caregivers who have helped them through it all, form a pink ribbon on the field here at the start of the game. All of these people have courageously fought the disease, and what we just want to urge is screening, screening, screening. I see my dad over here. We're giving a $50,000 check as we speak, a Crucial Catch check to the Franklin County Healthcare Services. It's going to provide screening and testing for people who don't have insurance and can't cover it, because breast cancer, if caught early, is curable in the vast, vast majority of the cases. And it's horrible when you hear about women, especially young women, losing their life to this disease.
Jonathan, thank you very much.
Thanks,
good luck,
guys.
Tonight. Great
talk to you next
always.
Week.
Take care,
we
guys.
We appreciate it. President of the Patriots, Jonathan Kraft, with the 2-minute drill with the new brand.
Good job, quarterback.
Yes, thanks.